Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, so, you know, we've been covering a lot of stuff on the show today. And by the way, we are on Facebook Live, and I got to give a shout out to Chris, who's in Provo today, diving. And he's taking the time out to join us on Facebook Live, not to see me, but I think just to check up on the sea monkeys. I believe that's exactly what he was doing. Right?
Shout out to Provo, home of provolone cheese.
He's in Utah?
That's where it came from, provolone cheese. I think you are sadly mistaken, CJ, but I appreciate that.
No, I think that, look it up.
Okay. We'll make a note of that. Also, Dave's checking in from Seattle. Let's see, RJ.
Wisconsin, hey. Beautiful.
Keith from down in, is he at the Gomez Hilton there, Walt, with you? Our buddy.
Negative, not today.
All right. Well, he is checking out on Facebook Live. Keith Gomez is when he takes on that name when he's at the Gomez Hilton, I believe. Doesn't he, Walt? Does he do that sometimes? Or it takes a pushers or two before.
Julio.
Oh, Julio.
Julio.
All right. There's Walt, there's Gomez, Julio. And Julio.
There's a little Walt.
Keith.
I mean, there's a little Gomez in all of us.
Okay. We'll go with that, I guess. Anyway, that's probably more information
than
we
need.
Cut that out. Okay. Let's talk about what's been happening in Florida this week, because this is some pretty big news. The Goliath grouper is under attack. The fishermen in Florida, we've covered this a couple weeks now, have been petitioning the Florida Wildlife Commission to open up the fishery to Goliath grouper. Now, they've been protected now for like 28 years. There's a moratorium under effect. In state waters, that you cannot take Goliath grouper. It's only catch and release if you catch them by mistake. The last couple years, fishermen have been making comments saying, like, hey, there's too many of these Goliath grouper. They're taking our fish off our hooks like sharks do when we reel up a fish. And they're back, so we should be able to kill them and eat them now. Now, obviously, you know, that's not ideal for divers. They've become quite an attraction for some of the dive operators, especially in the West Palm Beach area. And if you go up and down the East Coast on some of the wrecks, I mean, they're known at certain times of the year for these Goliath grouper to congregate, and you can get quite a view. I mean, I was watching one of Dan Volker's videos on Facebook, who's a friend of us, a friend of ours on Facebook, and he had a great video of, I bet it must have been 20, 30 Goliath groupers swimming around this wreck in West Palm. And it is impressive to see these big animals, you know, as big as the divers, if not bigger, swimming around and pretty approachable, too. I mean, a lot of them have personalities. At the commission, Jimmy Abernathy was there, and he was talking about his friend Wilbur, which accompanies a lot of the divers that he takes out on drift dives up and down there in Palm Beach. And
Wilbur.
They've, you know, this Goliath grouper has just become a friendly addition to the local attractions in the area, and has gotten accustomed to the divers and actually follows the dive boat along when it comes into the area. And then he kind of drifts with the divers. And so, what has happened over the years is that, yeah, I think the Goliath grouper probably have bounced back somewhat. But they're also very, very, very friendly type critters. I mean, I put them in the manatee category, you know.
Who are also delicious.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think manatees were ever hunted and killed that I know
what are you going to do with a Goliath grouper the size of a Volkswagen?
Yeah. Well, what
I mean, you bring it to the surface, you kill it, and then what? Let it rot on the dock?
Well, you know, it's a trophy fish. If you look back in the 60s, you know, spear fishermen, there's a lot of pictures of spear fishermen, you know, getting their picture taken with a giant Goliath grouper, you know, up next to them, like as big as them or bigger than them. And you know, and I understand the appeal of that as a hunter type of thing, I guess. You know, but that's kind of frowned upon these days. It's like, you know, you see an animal like that, and is, you know, as a diver, you're blown away when you see something that big. It is, you know, awe-inspiring to see these things. And the thing is,
but you're not going to mount a fish skin. You might take a picture and some measurements, and then it's a styrofoam mold you get painted.
True.
So there's no reason to kill these things.
Well, you would think. You'd think that'd be the case, and I've also heard they're full of mercury now, too, and they're not a very good eating fish and because they're so big.
Well, they do have a new thing out that you don't kill the fish. You just take the pictures of it. You make the fish out of a mold.
Yeah.
And it's still your trophy.
Greg, right. Are you auto-tuning Jerry?
It does sound like it. Yeah, a little Max Headroom kind of effect on Jerry the Diver Guy today. Yeah, I think it's his internet connection.
Sounds like Cher.
That's the pussers.
Yeah,
and no, there he goes.
It's the spring water.
Now. Like the Goliath grouper, he has disappeared.
Ah, well, okay. Well, but you know, the Goliath grouper have come back. There's no question.
The Goliath Jerry.
You hear of stories of divers seeing more Goliath grouper, but they've kind of taken on a kind of a different vibe now and become an attraction. And to think that, you know, the Wildlife Commission would want to open up the fishery again after 28 years of shutting it down because they were close to extinction. And I have no doubt they've come back. But now they're realizing, like, wait a minute, you know, the animals are, you know, they're coming back. They may not be back to where they really need to be to really establish themselves back to where they were back in the day of the 60s and stuff like that. But they're also, aren't they more valuable alive than dead?
Quit catching them, dinks.
I mean, you know, and they're going to catch them and release them regardless. You know, they can't indistinguishly, you know, go out fishing and not catch
them. Yeah, but the damage to the fish is done. The swim bladder's overinflated. They stressed it to the max.
Well, exactly. And yeah, they may or may not live through that experience. But to take them for the meat or whatever other reason, I don't know what it would be. It just doesn't, you know, seem to make much sense from an environmental standpoint, let alone a business standpoint, because the animals have really become a major, you know, diving attraction. People from around the world are coming down to, you know, the Palm Beaches in South Florida to dive or go find these Goliath groupers. You know, just like they would go snorkel with the manatees over in Crystal River. I mean, it's become a big tourism, you know, boom for the area. And so, you know, I know they were pitched that angle to the Wildlife Commission, but I will tell you, I also know there's quotes of many of the several of the commission members saying, well, look, you know, our role is to manage this resource for all user groups, and that includes fishermen. And if, you know, we allow you know, the divers to go see them, that's fine. We also should allow the fishermen to take them if they can sustain having them culled every now and then.
There's a big difference between looking at them and taking pictures and actually catching them and killing them.
Well, it's once consumable. They're gone,
they're gone. I don't follow. Explain.
Well, drink some more pussers.
Pussy! Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
So if you hook a 400-pounder... I mean, how are you going to get it on the boat anyway?
Yeah, this auto-tune is terrible.
I know.
Well, you know...
Do you believe in life after love?
Why don't we put advertising banners on the side like Jerry the Goodyear blimp, terrible. But underwater?
Yeah. No, Jerry's having some issues.
The Goliath Jerry.
Yeah. The Goliath?
The Goliath Jerry.
It's Goliath.
Right, but for Jerry, it's Goliath.
Oh, okay. I got it. I gotcha. I think.
What about now? Is it clear?
No. Oh, yeah, it's way
Maybe
better.
The aliens have captured him.
They're probing him.
Well, you know, you can pull...
It's Bigfoot. I mean, Bigfoot's chasing after the cheeky.
Yeah, they can catch these Goliath grouper with a rod and reel. It's doable. They've done it.
Greg, you're not...
Plenty of videos.
You're not suggesting we retaliate with violence against the fishermen.
No.
I don't subscribe to that school of thought.
Well...
You're not saying we get them back.
Nope.
You're not saying we stop them at all costs.
No,
I would never say that.
I'm basically telling you we can't. And this fight is hardly over, even though this first round battle may have been won for the Goliath grouper. There's a big war ahead.
A lot of fishing jigs going to be cut off the line in my boat.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
She loves to dive, dive, dive. She loves to dive, dive, dive. She loves to dive, 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 dive. I think you found your love. 'Cause you can go diving today. It's you I'm jealous of. How did you end up this way? She said she loves to, and you know we think that's rad. Yes, she loves to, and you know we are so glad. She said she heard this show. It almost blew her mind. Called Scuba Radio, the first show of its kind. She says she loves to, and you know we think that's rad. Yes, she loves to, and you know we are so glad. Woo! She loves to. For a dive like that, you know you should be glad. For a dive like that, you know you should be glad. For a dive like that, you know we are so glad.
Dive, dive, dive. Dive.
first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ Bubble Boy in the studio. We got Jerry the Diver Guy, Captain Walt DeMartini, Casey from the Tobacco Hut, Barry the Boater. Even Vinny Two Tanks is with us right now. Vinny out there on the left coast getting ready for our big dive adventure here in May. Vinny, how are you, buddy? What's going
on? Great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to our Explorer Adventure trip.
Yes, May 12th to the 19th, 1-800-322-3577 if you want to join us. And I will be diving. It will be my 55th birthday in the middle of the week. So,
I thought you were 55 already.
No, heck no. I'm actually celebrating my birthday on the boat, on the Caribbean Explorer 2. Hopefully we'll be anchored right off the coast of Ceiba and have a little bit of a... You know, surface interval party or something.
I hope you're pirate free.
Pirate? Why?
I hope you don't get boarded by pirates.
No, no. We'll have everything but pirates. Anyway, so...
You're going to have butt pirates?
What? What are you talking about?
Thanks, I really didn't need that, but...
We are going to have a good time, that's for sure. Vinny Two Tanks, Butch is going to be on the boat as well. Renee, Mermaid Tiffany, the whole crew. We're going to have a fun time. And we'll be doing a broadcast there on the boat as well. So make sure you tune in for that. Actually, that'll air on the May 19th. All right, but right now we're talking about the Goliath grouper situation in Florida. The Florida Wildlife Commission had a meeting this week. And the fishermen in Florida are petitioning the commission to open up a fishery on the Goliath grouper. Now, the good news is that they came away from the meeting and said, okay, we hear you. It's been 28 years since this fishery has been closed. We're not going to open it right now. This is something that we're going to need to look at in the future. And the commission, by several of their comments, it's becoming clear to me that they're going to open up this fishery. It is going to happen. And we're going to be out of luck, I think, unless more divers speak up.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
We discovered the fishery had a problem when all the big grouper were gone.
Correct.
So they're going to start catching them, and then what? When they report that, gee, we can't find any more big grouper to catch, then we'll close it again?
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, who knows?
That seems like a pretty dumb way to make this decision.
Well, you know, they've instructed their staff. The Florida Wildlife Commission has a staff, and they've told their staff, hey, go find out more about how the fishery is doing. Because there's really not a lot of hard research, because the fishery for Goliath grouper has been shut down. So there's no statistics on, like, how many Goliath grouper have been caught. And, you know, that's how they can manage the numbers on the fishery for a lot of species of fish. They actually go to the fishermen that are catching them and saying, how many did you land today? And then they kind of put together this data. They don't really have that for the Goliath grouper, because the fishery for that particular species has been shut down, period. So there's not a lot of data to work with. What little there has been done by some scientists that are, you know, like trying to check and see what Goliath grouper are eating is just that, by, you know, catching a Goliath grouper or accidentally got caught, and then they do a dissection to them, and then they find out what's in their stomach. So what are the Goliath grouper eating? Because one of the stories, or one of the anecdotal, examples of information that the fishermen are giving, is that the Goliath grouper are eating their fish that they're reeling in. And you'll see these videos on YouTube all over the place now, where... Because it makes for a pretty dramatic video. Just like if a shark comes up and takes the fish from your line when you're reeling it in, they're having this happen with Goliath grouper now. Because Goliath grouper are pretty indiscriminate eaters as far as fish. They eat other fish, as most grouper do. But the fishermen are claiming there's so many of them now that they can't, reel in their fish without a Goliath grouper coming up to eat it. And, you know, that's kind of anecdotal. And there may be some Goliath grouper hotspots where maybe this is happening. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But what scientific data has been conducted on some of these dissections that I've seen, whatever hard data there is, they've seen that the Goliath grouper are not eating the other fish that the fishermen are targeting. They're eating like clams and things like that, and not other reef fishes in the area. Because, you know, the fishermen are saying there's too many goliath grouper. They're killing all, they're eating all the other fish on the reef. You know, like a lionfish, invasive species type of thing. They're thinking there could be too many goliath grouper. That's their, you know, their reason for, hey, well, you need to let us go in and kill some of these things. When really they just want to go eat them or kill them or,
let's,
you know,
get a bumper sticker that says goliath grouper eat lionfish, save the goliath grouper.
Well, maybe that could be one way to
look. Yeah, why don't you go fish for lionfish? Catch all you want.
Isn't that true? They're not,
Greg,
as big.
Isn't that the only predator that the lionfish has, other than humans?
Yeah, I mean, the lionfish don't have they don't have a predator at all, other than the fishermen.
The goliath grouper, I think, yeah.
They eat them, yeah. I mean, I have heard that they will, some goliath grouper will eat them, but, you know, even that, you don't know. They've tried to, teach some of the goliath grouper.
I have to say, it's an opportunistic fish.
Or an opportunity, I think he, did you get what he said?
Opportunistic.
Okay. You're barely getting it out there, but I hear what he's trying to say. Yeah, they are. They'll eat a lot of different things, but when they've done dissections on what are they eating, they're not cleaning out the reef in the area like the fishermen are saying. The science has not backed up that anecdotal.
They've proven the lionfish are doing.
Exactly. All right. So more coming up. Stay close. Somebody on Facebook Live has just mentioned that aren't the goliath grouper eating the lionfish now? And you know, we were talking about that. There is definitely some videos out there online where divers have been trying to teach the lionfish to eat, or teach the goliath grouper to eat lionfish. And they've had some success with that, but not 100%.
Maybe
for sure.
If we smear them with guacamole.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, they need a little kick.
Flavor.
Yeah.
You think those spines would hurt when they swallow those things?
Well, that's why they don't eat them, Barry. I mean, I think they've learned that that's not a good thing. But see, there's been some, talk of them trying to, they can get over that. Cause
for them, it might just be like spicy food.
Well, they can eat lobster. They eat spiny lobster all the time.
Like jalapenos.
And, obviously the spiny lobster have those pokey little shells and things.
They're pokey, but they aren't poisonous pokey.
Well, true. But I don't know. I think goliath grouper can. I don't know. I've seen mixed results on that scenario. They've definitely tried to teach them to eat them, but they, it's probably not their first choice. So they got to be served up or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, that'd be another reason you could say, hey, don't take
with a nice bottle of Chianti.
Yeah, well, exactly, or a guacamole. So so that's one thing. But the deal is with the goliath grouper, yeah, we won this first battle to not open up the fishery, but I'm telling you, it's coming. And unless we can mobilize some way to really convince the commission that they should not open up this fishery, I'm telling you right now, I hate to be a pessimist in this regard, but I've seen it too many times before. The fishing lobby in Florida is extremely powerful. And you could tell by the comments that were released by the commission that they're definitely going in that direction at some point. And, their excuse is like, look, when they closed it down 28 years ago, the plan was not to have this fishery closed forever. It was supposed to be a temporary measure, and it's been 28 years. So they're like, hey, you didn't say we were never going to have a shot at these fish from here on out. We don't want to set this precedent where this is going to be the case. So that's the other side of the coin. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba.
this is Joe, my dive instructor on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I'm known for spicing up the briefings by dressing up, and apparently this guy has dubbed me the Lady Gaga of the Seven Seas. Honestly, I think he's a little jealous. Greg the Dive Master, take it away, fancy boy.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. A couple weeks from now, we'll be in Saba. Joe's not on that boat, but that'd be fun if we had the Lady Gaga of the Seven Seas, you know, on our birthday cruise.
She is in Eric Douglas's book, Turks and Chaos. So.
She is. How is that coming along, Mr. Nary?
Very well. We're over halfway done.
Right on, right on. So that's going to be released soon, the audio version.
I would
version.
Say I'll probably be done within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. She doesn't have any speaking part on that.
Yeah, she does.
She does. And you do this?
She does a dive briefing. And a couple other lines after that.
But you do it as her?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that sound?
I'm not doing it right now.
Why not? She's British, and, you know, you're an actor.
G'day, mate. No.
Pictures.
Right.
Right.
Pussers.
Pussers. It's pussers, Ron.
Pussers.
That's what Bubble Boy and CJ are drinking in the studio. Pussers.
Okay? You're not dating it, right?
Yeah.
Pussers.
And just so we're clear.
She's from Canada, right?
She might be. I believe that's accurate. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, so, and she's having a good day.
Where the Bigfoot roam free.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing, just so we're clear, we're not diving right now. We're talking about it. So, you know, CJ and Bubble Boy.
Well, clearly.
Jerry the Diver
diving.
Guy, Walt DeMartini, Vinny Two Tanks, maybe even having a cocktail too. I don't know about Barry the Boater. We basically has his.
I'm out. I need a refill.
Well, you didn't finish off that entire bottle of pussies.
No, we're just a little sipping.
Pussers from. Yeah, Barry the Boater brought that up last time.
Thanks, Barry. It's good.
Yeah. It is good. That's what I meant by grog with.
Pussers.
Yeah. He made his grog with pussers.
Grog.
I can't feel my gums.
Yeah. Grog.
Grog is pussers rum and what? What is it?
Simple syrup and water and some lime juice.
Hmm. That sounds
sort of like a mojito without the mint.
Yeah, they were going to go for that, but then they're like, "Ah, that's too much work. Just give me the bottle.
It's too girly. We just drink it.
Lime juice
up.
Kills the
scurvy.
Scurvy. Right.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You don't want scurvy. No, actually, you know they have scurvy, and they, you know,
I will take a lime in my vodka tonics.
They've come to get. They're accustomed to it. Yeah,
they came up with grog because the water would go bad after a couple
of
weeks.
Not scurvy, pervy. Yeah.
No, scurvy. No, oh, you're pervy.
I've been called pervy, not
no,
scurvy.
When you drink the pussies,
if
you drink too much, you get pervy. Oh, jeez. What is wrong with you people?
You need a, never mind.
Yeah.
I've been called rather curvy.
All right, well, just so we're clear, I just want to make sure people know that we're not encouraging drinking and diving because we never do that. We never do that.
Drink but if we're, and talk about diving.
If we're, yeah, exactly.
Drink and broadcast.
Correct. If you, you know, you don't mix the diving activity.
No.
Yeah, you know.
You dive, then you drink, then you tell the stories a whole way different.
Yes. Tell your stories responsibly. I think that's the.
About a giant octopus and blue holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how these stories develop. You know, you're sharing those fish tales and the pushes sometimes will help enhance the storytelling experience. I'm just saying. Okay, that's what I found over the 21-year history of Scuba Radio.
Did I ever tell you the story about when Allie first saw a squid underwater? And
no.
How disappointed she saw a squid.
Yeah.
And, you know, she grew up with the cartoons where if you scared the squid, you would just see this big cloud of ink everywhere. You
right,
see
right. Ink on you. Sure.
So he did that. She did that. And
she scared the squid and made it ink?
Made it ink. And she was so disappointed. This little spurt of ink came out, and that was it. And she looked at me like, what?
No, I've seen a mink. It's kind of creepy
to me. Yeah, but she was very disappointed. It wasn't like in the cartoons where the whole
where
screen
you couldn't
just goes
see
black.
And everything. Yeah. No. I think it depends on the... On the squid.
She found one with a prostate problem, apparently.
Well, I was very disappointed.
Allie says the squid owes her money.
Yeah. Well, if you were in Dean's hole and you had a giant squid ink on you, it very well could be like the cartoon thing.
Yeah, octopus don't ink, do they?
Well, it's probably a giant squid. It's not an octopus or a hybrid of some sort. So I'm thinking it has inking capabilities.
If you bring a bottle of seafood sauce down with you, would that scare them away?
You mean cocktail sauce, huh?
Yeah, cocktail sauce.
I don't know.
If he saw you with a fork and a knife and a bottle of that going down there, he might think that he is going to be dinner.
No, I think...
calamari.
Those utensils you held in your hand would reflect in the light and make you even more attractive to him to eat you or her. I'm just saying. You know, they
That's
like shiny objects.
That's why I will bring the ultra white dive Greg with me.
I don't like the sound of
You're
that.
You're as white as Greg is.
Yeah.
No.
Take that, Barry the Boater.
Tanner than Greg.
No, you are a liar. I know you are a liar.
No.
Vinny,
they don't
two
do white balance on me.
Vinny is out on the left coast.
Greg's more pink.
Yeah, do you guys have giant squid out there or octopus? See, those are a fairly common critter to encounter, aren't they? Like off the coast of California? In certain places? Oh,
I think they're in Northern California, in Oregon, in that area.
Oh, okay. So you don't see them where you're at?
No, I haven't seen a big one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, is that something you'd go out of your way and want to dive with, Vinny? Or
I'm a little apprehensive about it. I hear some of them are pretty aggressive when they get that size.
Yeah. Well, the typical Pacific giant octopus. I've seen plenty of videos. I haven't seen these underwater, but they look like they'd be fun to see. But I've seen these videos where they'll grab the, like, photographer's camera and he has to kind of fight with them a little bit. I mean, they're, you know, these big monster camera systems, right? And these, you know, Pacific octopus, I mean, they can get pretty big, like 8 feet in, you know, length and stuff if they stretch their tentacles out and their head as big as a basketball kind of deal. But they don't look like they could eat you or, you know, but they could grab your camera, and then you gotta. I've seen these videos where they're grabbing the camera and trying to grab it and put it in a hole or something like that.
I'll stick to cuttlefish, Greg.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I was thinking about the Humboldt squid. Those can be pretty nasty.
Well, the Humboldt squid's that's a different ball game. Those things can be about 150 pounds and they could take you out. I have no doubt. But
aren't those really deep, though?
No. During certain times of the year in Sea of Cortez, I believe. I mean, Casey was talking about it earlier. I've seen those videos, too. I've been invited to do that, where they take you out on the dive boat, and they literally put you in this Kevlar type of wetsuit and hang you about 20, 25 feet below the surface on a cable. They clip you in, and you hang there with your camera and wait for the Humboldt squid to come in and start attacking you.
Fun.
Yeah. That's what I thought. To watch, you know, yeah, that doesn't sound like, you know, that's not on my list. Let me
Everybody
put it that way.
Everybody needs a good hug now and then.
Well, maybe.
From the cuttlefish?
And it would be kind of fun to see, but I've seen these videos, and I'm like, no, I'll just talk about it and watch the video.
Yeah,
I'm
not into that.
I don't need to do that. But they have a, you know, the interesting thing about the Humboldt squid, they've, you know, encountered some pack-like behavior where several Humboldt squid will work together in coordination to, like, distract the diver from one side, and then another one will come in and hit him from behind. I've seen these stories and seen some stuff that they say, is this what's going on? I mean, I don't know. But
you want to buy a watch?
Excuse me?
That's the Humboldt squid. Hey, you want to buy a watch?
Okay, he's
talking about this corner.
Yeah, the Humboldt brand of watches. It was a little bit of a stretch there, Barry, but I gotcha.
Barry?
Huh?
Who? Barry?
Oh, Barry the Boater or who?
No, Barry the Boater wasn't doing that.
No, it wasn't Barry the Boater. Who
was
it?
The Humboldt squid.
Oh, of course it was, yes. Okay.
Damn it, Greg, don't break character.
Damn it, Greg. How many times?
Oh, my
More
gosh.
More pussers around.
Pussers! See, we drank Barry the Boater's pussers rum, so God knows what kind of chemical Strong enhancement stuff. He is encountering down there in South Florida today. God bless him.
Absinthe, I think.
Oh, that makes sense. It would make a lot more sense. But, yeah, the Humboldt, hunting packs, like wolves and things. And once again, that doesn't sound like the kind of activity I'd want to go out of my way to encounter. Now, I will tell you, I'm intrigued, though, by this story in the Bahamas at Dean's Hole. Would I be tempted to want to go on a dive and and knowing that there could be a giant squid swimming around? Would I want to do that? Would you get in the water with that, CJ? If you even, you know, it's a mythical kind of thing. We don't know if this is real or not.
I would have
not.
To ask Jerry Lewis about Dean's Hole.
Honey!
Punches! Bubble Boy, what do you think?
Oh, I don't think, Greg.
No. Okay. Well, what
he thinks
I?
About 10% slower yeah. since he showed up to this show.
Yeah, oh, good point. Good point.
More pushers.
Yeah, that does it.
Pushers!
Thank you.
Scuba Radio!
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is better than porn. It's like porn and Shark Week combined.
He's got no legs to kick it with. And he's got no arms to swim with. But nonetheless, he is a scuba diver man. And he's doing the best he can. Scuba diver man. Doing the best he can.
Scuba Diver Man.
Scuba Diver Man.
Scuba Diver Man.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
Oh, come on. Give me a break. I am Greg the Dive Master, and this is Scuba Radio.
Take it, Scooby-Doo.
Okay. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're talking about diving with squid. Monster squid, Goliath grouper. We like them all. I would do the, I think I would go for the squid thing. For the mythical squid, not the humble.
But would you enter Dean's Hole?
Well, I just said I would go there to the Bahamas, and I would, if I was part of a group, you know, kind of like the start of a horror movie, where you have like an 8-member team, and you dive this blue hole in the Bahamas in search of the, you know, the giant squid, Luca or Lusca, that is mythically taking out bathers and stuff, potentially, I don't know. To this blue hole, I'd be tempted to be a part of expedition in that regard. Now the Humboldt thing, not so much.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean it'd make for a great movie, you know, and that kind of thing, and I could be part of it. I'd go take a look. Sure.
Rated X.
No, don't say that, Bubble Boy. That's
rated
not
a M
for manure.
Huh. Okay. So, you know, we were going to try to touch base with Dr. Doug today because Tech Dive USA is happening here in our backyard in Orlando. It's a big tech diving conference that happens every other year. And this is the year. It's happening this weekend. But for whatever reason, we can't seem to get him on the phone today. So we'll push that back to next week and get an update for you on how that went. He's hosting a few seminars. Our buddy Dr. Doug Ebersol and the tech diving world has converged on Orlando, a little outside the scope of what we typically do on Scuba Radio. But what's cool about stuff like that is that they're usually on the cutting edge of new technology and decompression, tables, statistics, things like that, that eventually filter down to recreational diving, which is where we like to go. And I wonder if they're talking about that giant squid, because that would be a technical dive. No, well, I bet they probably don't know about it, but I'm telling you, those are the type of divers that would want to go after, on a mission to find this mythical creature.
No, they know it's BS.
No, I don't think they do. I don't, like I said, I snoped it. It wasn't out. This is a real story. This isn't like the Chick Chorney. This really is a thing.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Oh, by the way, Greg.
Yes, Barry
Walt
the Boater
said he sent you a photo of a Chick Chorney.
That's right. I saw that. It would look like a little wooden owl carving of a Chick Chorney. Where is that,
and,
Walt?
And for CJ, there's three. Andros. There are Andros, three bars on Long Island where this blue hole is.
Yeah.
Three bars.
Right, there's three bars within about a 2 mile distance.
Okay, so you have to go there and do a little bar hopping, is what you're saying?
So you can walk. I like it.
Well, yeah, you'd walk around the blue hole. I mean, around Dean's hole. You just don't want to fall in.
Second deepest blue hole in the world or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep one. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Geographically, you could see how a giant octopus might find a place like that as a nice little area to hang out.
And just thrive on all the nutrients in the water.
Okay. Yeah, you keep going back to the one we saw in Andros.
Maybe it's a giant sea monkey.
You know what? I bet that could be a thing.
Like a sea gorilla.
I mean, if our sea monkeys...
Sea Kong...
had a bigger environment to thrive in. Yeah. They have a small little container that they're in right now.
It's a good
that
you thing you keep them small.
Contained.
Did you see the movie Rampage yet?
No.
What do you mean, yet?
Oh, is that that's the new Dwayne Johnson one, right?
Yeah.
With it's a
good
rock.
Movie.
That's a good movie? Are you kidding me?
No,
that was like a total piece of crap.
No, it was a great movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine if they had
It was no Aquaman.
It was the sea monkeys.
There were no sea monkeys.
No, there was a giant alligator.
Jerry. I mean,
Barry.
Barry.
Jerry, Barry.
Larry.
It's the pushers.
It's buzzers.
Barry, how were the rocks' rippling muscles?
They were rippling all right.
Hmm. Okay.
Greg, you're going to be 55. You're ready for ramp age.
Ha! Okay. Anyway,
Kitty
I don't
Carlisle.
Know. Wait, so what are you saying? Go see the movie Rampage, and that might give you an idea of how this giant squid, why it may exist?
It's possible that they are sea monkeys that have been given this drug that changed their DNA.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes total sense. Thanks, Barry.
You're welcome.
For bringing some logic into this conversation. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it'd be a fun adventure, though, to go go find this giant squid. But these tech divers would be into that, is what I'm telling you. And you would need something pretty hardcore to be diving down at the depths that you're talking like 600 feet. These tech divers that are in Orlando this week for Tech Dive USA, I can guarantee you that is the kind of stuff that they like doing.
2 minutes, caves, keep stalling.
Caves, depth. They can do it with side mount rebreathers, that kind of stuff. Dr. Doug, maybe we can talk him into doing this. He wants to teach you and I, CJ, and Bubble Boy on one of these rebreathers.
That would be cool.
If we got rebreather certified, we'd have no bubbles. Wouldn't scare away
that
the giant
cool.
octopus if we encountered them in Dean's hole.
Oh, thank God.
And we'd be good to go.
Pussies!
No one can hear you scream in the blue hole.
Yes. Well, they can't really hear you scream underwater too much either. So, Anyway, we'll leave it at that for this week because that's all we got. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We did. Good times. And we'll continue the adventure next week on The Big Show. Till then, remember, it's always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Wetter.
Right. Safe diving, everyone.
Pussies.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.